Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord for all that He's doing. One thing I want people to remember, and that's why I say repetition, that the Lord is moving by His Spirit and He has so much to say. He speaks to us in the heart. I believe in repetitious word because that's where our faith comes from. And we need to believe that our God thinks of everything and He's always in motion. Now these things that I minister, I learned from Him. Years ago, when I preached at, I ministered at our family reunion. And I knew some people that were there may never get to hear me minister again. And following God, I pray that every person would hear something that would stick with them for life. Because I know how the world works, and I know how slick the enemy is. And he will build you up in pride. He'll use your pride against you, your fear against you, and your desires against you, even your emotions. And I know the battle that people have to go to deal with. But I spoke words in the most unforgettable way I could possibly do it, according to the anointing. And, you know, the Lord is always in motion. Sometimes people catch on to the things of God and they want to see God do something now. But our God is always in motion. God is not sitting around waiting on us to get ready. He's using whoever He can. Whoever is willing, whoever will be wise. That's why it's so important for us to win. We're not winning for ourselves, per se. We win for ourselves, but we're winning in the sight of the world. That's how the Lord can show people who He is, through our victory. Sometimes people accuse people who live in victory to be selfish and they forget everybody. That's not the point. You're trying to live and represent God, and Satan's trying to stop you. Go as far as you can go. Do things that's over the top. The enemy is the accuser. If you do something good, people see it, he's got to accuse you so he can make them believe a lie so he can keep them trapped. And that's what's happening. Some people do get healed. Some people do read their word and they learn and they grow and they develop. And they stop having the same series of problems. You know, people, you leave a pattern wherever you go. It can be a pattern of good works, a pattern of dead works, a pattern of sorrow, a pattern of misery. And people that don't win, they can, not only are they miserable, they can cause other people to be miserable. Because they always have a downcast vision. And at the same time, God put great treasures in them. See, when you study the word, you activate things that's already there. Some people would be wonderful mechanics or some of the best musicians if they just pick up a horn or start playing a piano. But they're so bogged down with the cares of this world. You know, they work a job they don't like. They live in a place they don't like. And because of their misery, they have a marriage they don't like. They never picked up the book and received it. And thank God they got so miserable they did get saved. But a lot of Christian people don't study God's word. They're not well versed in what they really have. And I'm looking at some people, the Holy Spirit is moving in their life. They're receiving miracles. Henry Gruber, he talked about three accidents that was just terrible. One of his child threw a rock and knocked the eye out of the other son. And they prayed over his eye, took him to the doctor the next day, and the Lord started healing that eye. And the doctor thought that the injury was older than what he said. He said, no, that happened yesterday. But the rate of repair suggested that it took longer. And then the Lord finished healing the eye in the doctor's office. And they did x-rays and they saw it and they marveled at how the eye is recreating itself. But that was God. He received a miracle because he lives in the presence of God, because he bothers to study God's word, commune with the Lord, and obey him. See, a lot of things happen when you obey him that don't happen when you're disobedient. You won't have vision for the greater miracles you need at the time. Some vision that you receive comes from actually obeying the Lord and dialoguing yourself. And you can't be like the early Catholic Church, allowing the priest to read the Bible for you and that's all. People that, you know, that's not God. If you have a Bible, a lot of people die trying to get that Bible printed. In this country, it's the bestseller of all times. And people need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be wearing our Bibles out, buying new ones, because God is good. We need to learn of him. And remember, you don't learn everything by just reading. You receive the Word of God in your heart, and it'll minister to you. It becomes faith. And then you speak and interact according to the Word of God. And that faith becomes life in you. That's why you're going to trust God from interaction. You don't trust God because he's good. You trust him because every time you interact with him, you come out better. Same way you trust other people. You trust them because in the past they were good. They kept their word. They did what was right. They were truthful. They had integrity. That's why you trust them. And that's why you don't trust people, because they were not people of integrity. But God is. And if you bother to listen to him and hear him out and obey him, you'll know you can trust him. That's how it works. God is a person, and you learn to trust him just like you would any other person. People know it doesn't sound right to say, well, I don't trust God. But when he tells you to do something, does it get done, or do you forget about it? And that tells you whether you trust. If you have joy, you trust God. If your joy is gone and your peace is gone, you don't trust God. Every time the Lord tells me to do something, when I trust him, I feel joy all over. I know that this is going to work. I know this is going to take me forward. And I also know that this kind of knowledge is way beyond me. But when I do those things and I act on the things of God, and even when I teach according to the anointing, when I teach what God give me, people look at me as if I'm smart, but it's not me, it's God. Some things can't happen unless you mature and obey God. Only then can you learn those greater things. And then their children have injuries and they're Christian people, but they don't get healed like Henry Gruber's children did. His son was in the gym climbing a wall, but he fell and it broke his neck and he couldn't move. And he talked about this. Make a long story short, he prayed over the child, and the nurse was irate because she didn't believe in prayer. But God healed the boy's neck right there, and he walked home. I mean, he was able to walk again. Why? Because he received God's word in his heart. And when he needed the emergency miracle, he had him. God is good, folks. Now, he can't show himself strong in some people's behalf because they're panicky. They won't grow up. They won't listen and read the word. They don't do something about the situations in their life. They run from God's perfect will. They don't say, Lord, what should I be doing? They want to answer all at once, too. Why not just go in God's presence and live that way? Whatever he say, that's what I'll do. If you start confessing things that need to be, you will find yourself doing the things that need to be. Just be yielded to the Lord. And he'll tell you what to do. And then you'll do it and it'll work. If God didn't ask you to do something yet, you shouldn't do something yet. A lot of people say, they see other people, ministers get assignments from the Lord and they want one. No, it doesn't work that way. This is an individual thing. Just draw near to the Lord and give him your life. Let him be your Lord. Don't just call him Lord. Let him be your Lord. Ask him to give you wisdom for the day. That's how you start. Study the word and receive it. You're going to need miracles. You're going to have emergencies. You're going to have things like that. Ask God to help you. First of all, you can pray against tragedies. And you can also say, well, Lord, if I ever need you in this situation, help me out. I did that. I thought about it. I said, now I'm learning from the Lord. And I realized a lot of people aren't doing that. And I said, Lord, if anything ever happened to me and I can't speak for myself, I want you to heal me. And from time to time, I pray like that. If I'm ever in a situation where the doctors want to pull the plug and sell my heart and my liver and whatever, you know, they'll part you out if they think you ain't going to make it. I said, Lord, I want you to heal me. Because I'm going to finish my course. I didn't say I want to finish my course. I said I'm going to finish my course. Because the enemy is out there. We are at war. Things do happen. And sometimes Christians, they'll listen to the doctor. They'll say, well, if you said that's so, well, okay. We'll pray and then you can pull the plug. I've seen people act like that. I don't trust my life to people. I trust God. I said, Lord, if I'm ever in a situation that I can't speak for myself, heal me. I started confessing, I'm healed. And the Lord gave me my life. By that I mean, he told me, he said, you're going to live. And this was before the accidents. He said, I've given you your life. Just like Jeremiah. No man can take my life. He said, you're going to live. I won't be a martyr. Which I have the heart of a martyr. I'm not going to recant. I'll never do that. I love God. But I'm going to live. That's what he said. And I have authority. Now, if you listen to my testimonies, I had greater success of having authority. When I rebuke the spirit of death, people don't die. When the gunfights were roaring, I rebuke death, and nobody gets shot. And this is just what happened. I'm not making this up. This happened. It was amazing to me. And I'm not saying it in a boastful way. I'm saying it in the most humble way I know how. Because when you trust God, he's right there with you. And it's not about good works. It's not about how wonderful I am. This is the grace of God. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Your authority is in grace. God gave you a blank check. Fill it out. What do you need? It won't bounce. God has an abundant supply. You can't write a check big enough that he can't cash. That's what he's saying. My grace is sufficient for you. Use it. I don't have to come out of heaven and take authority over Satan for you. That's your job. That's easy. His thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. It wasn't a sickness. And if you look up the first mention of thorn in the flesh, it was a messenger of Satan, people that were contrary to God. They'll be like thorns in your side and smoke in your eyes. And they were harassing Paul everywhere he went till he took authority over it, and it stopped. You didn't read about it. No more damsels saying, these are the men of God. They teach us the way of salvation. That stopped. Paul learned what to do. But that was the duration of time. He didn't know how to handle it. Yeah, but he was an apostle. Apostles have to learn just like here. That's why God put teachers in the body, to teach the apostles. You know, remember the game Rock, Paper, Scissors? the paper covers the rock. The rock break the scissors. The scissors cut the paper. Well, apostles, they have a function. And they're raised by pastors. And they're taught by teachers. And they're edified by prophets. And they're saved by evangelists. Evangelists are taught by apostles. They're raised by pastors. They're taught by teachers. And sometimes they're saved by evangelists. And remember, the prophet is subject to the prophet. When the Holy Spirit is speaking, that's who you need to be listening to. But some people are so stupid in their way that I'm the great apostle. I don't have to listen to anybody. Okay. If you take that position, you're going to find yourself hitting a wall. I never take that position. I don't care who God uses. I'm going to listen. And that's why I don't run into as many walls as others. Because I'm a listener, an observer. I'm listening for the voice of my God, the Holy Spirit. He might have something to say through a child. He may have something to say through my wife. Sometimes my wife says, "You don't need to do that." My ears go up like a German shepherd's in the spirit. I listen. Because that woman has given me great advice. And sometimes, many times, the Lord used her to help me not avoid accidents. And I listen. And I want to listen to God. Proud people, when people who, you know, they cast themselves above others, that's not God's way. But some of the elements that they need is not going to come direct. It's not going to come from ministries that they look up to. Sometimes it may come from a convert. That's why people miss God. That's why they can't be, you know, they don't listen. And they don't receive the elements they need to do the greater works. Remember, Jesus said, many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. God wants the most humble people, the most loving people to represent Him. He's particular about who represents Him to the world. Those that are first, they are first because they yield to the Lord and they obey Him. They get the job done in love and they don't belittle God's people. God fired the Jews when they got in idolatry. Isaiah blinded them. He did not want them representing Jesus Christ. He let them believe a lie. He came to His own. They didn't receive Him. He went out to the people in the streets and preached outside in the open air Colosseum. God prepared a natural place by the Sea of Galilee where He could preach. It was a perfect amphitheater. Because He knew He couldn't just let people go to the temple because the temple was corrupt. They were last. They were actually out. But many that are first, He chose a fisherman, a tax collector. He chose people that did regular job, blue collar workers.